This coming Erev Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Naso, except in Eretz Yisrael, they'll have the privilege of reading Parshas Baaloscha, which of course we'll tackle next week. But let's begin right away with the Parsha, where we picked up where we left off last week in the middle of the counting of the Levium. And we're told, Naso is Rosh B'nei Gershon, and in the end of the day, we're told, Eile Pekudei Mishpachos HaKosi, we're told that these are the Pekudim of the Shevet of Kas, and then we're told at the end of the entire count, Ufekudav Kasher Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, its numbers were as Hashem commanded Moshe. And the Ramban notes that the message here is to teach us that each descendant of Levi is given a specific job, and doing the wrong one is punishable by death. So suggests the Ramban. Reb Zadel Epstein Zatzal explained the Ramban as follows. The Ramban is highlighting an important concept. Each person needs to know his or her place and job in life, and to value that job specifically. Taking someone else's job in place of one's own is a double fail. Wanting something that is someone else's purpose in life, and also neglecting one's own. If you neglect your own purpose in life, lama li chayim, what are you alive for? And so therefore the Torah tells us that each of us has to turn around and be misaveh for our own shulchan, to have desire for our own shulchan, not for the table of somebody else. Later the parsha begins and tells us about the mitzvah vidui, this vaduas chatosam asher asu, the people will admit their sins. Now when we introduce vidui on Yom HaKippurim, or in the Slichot season, we always introduce it, we add the phrase that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Halo kol ha-nistaros v'ha-niglos ata yodea, Hashem, you know, the nistaros and the revealed. Now that Hashem knows, the nistaros, the hidden things, that's a great description of the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then he knows the revealed, what's the point? Who doesn't know that which is revealed? So Rav Elia Lopian, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, the great Baal Musar, explains that this is the point. Even things we think we know are not as revealed to us as they are to Hashem. Sometimes we think we understand why we did what we did, or how we did what we did. The Torah wants us to know that this is indeed not the case. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows even that which we think we're fooling ourselves with. Which leads us to the parasha of Sota, where we're told, Ish kisiste ishto, if a man's wife goes astray, and Rashi explains that adulterers don't commit adultery unless they have a ruach of shtus, a moment of insanity. Of course, if the whole process of adultery is based on insanity, how do you find somebody who committed adultery guilty? Isn't the person who is insane a shote? Isn't a shote exempt from mitzvos? So asks the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Chaf, so suggests the Gemara in Chagiga. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal explained that this is like a person who sees an open pit with a fence surrounding it. The person breaks the fence and falls into the pit, and then claims damages for falling into the pit. Now realistically, the judicial system might see his point about the pit, but will find him responsible for bypassing the fence in the first place. And similarly, one does not have permission to violate the space of the sin, even if later he or she will be found to be temporarily insane, whether that sin is Gilui Arayos, or whether that sin is any other sort of sin. And so the Torah tells us the man brings his wife to the Mikdash, to the Kohen, Be'evias Karban Aleha, he brings her Karban, Kemach, Asiris Eifa, Kemach Saurim, a Eifa of barley with no Shemen and no Levona. And Rashi explains that she did an act her act was a Maisa Be'ema, therefore her Karban is such. There can be no oil, because we don't want her to make her Karban appear to be Mehudar. We leave out the Levona, not to make the woman be reminiscent of the Imos. Now why don't we highlight other aspects of the accusation? Why are we highlighting the light and the Imos? So the late great tells Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch Zatzal, explained that sometimes the trick of the Yitzhara is to look at things that are not as serious in the eyes of the transgressor. However, in the moment, these transgressions are serious enough that they make an impression on the person, making and bringing him or her closer to sin. We have to take protective measures, no matter what, even on the small things. And we are also held liable, even on the small things as well. And so therefore the Torah tells us, Ish o isha ki afli lindar neder nazir lahazir lahashem. And Rashi notes that someone who sees the sota, bekil kula, who sees the sota in her disgrace, will come to the status of Naziris, will swear off wine with the neder of a Nazir. Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita would often note that while we normally eschew the extreme in our lives, our views need to be different, especially today. Today we live in a generation of instant communication. Everyone around the world is notified immediately about anybody who gets arrested, all the Ganavim and all the Sotos anywhere in the world. We don't see one Sota. We are made aware of many Sotos. And although under normal conditions it would not be healthy to follow the extreme path in life, in our circumstances extreme measures are recommended. Moreover, this recommendation is not only true in the area of Bein Adam L'Makom. Rishat always told us it's relevant Bein Adam L'Chaveru as well. We're surrounded with many who cheat in business and cheat on taxes and sales tax, etc. We should be careful not only to be honest and follow the law, but even bend over backwards to make sure that we don't follow these extremely improper practices of our society. The Gemara describes kosher fish as having a backbone, and because of having a backbone, they have the ability to swim upstream against the current. And Jews, said Rav Shechter, must always develop such a backbone, and see to it that we too swim against the current. And so the Nazir goes through the whole process of his Nazirus, and hopefully it's eventless in terms of Tumah. But no matter what happens, after all is said and done, the Nazir will drink wine. Once his karbanos are offered and he's even able to drink wine, why does the Torah highlight the word achar yishteh ha-nazir? Why is he still called a Nazir? He's no longer a Nazir. His karbanos are over. He can even drink wine. So the Mir Rosh Yeshiva of Yitzchak Ezrachi Shlita explains that we learn a valuable lesson from here. That when someone takes on a status or strives to reach a level in his or her spiritual life, the experience does not leave him or her, and he or she can never go back to not having the status. And although the Nazir's restriction period is over, he or she will always be a Nazir with the spiritual lessons that that status brought. And then, after the story of the Nazir, we read, Kosev Archu as B'nei Yisrael, the idea of Birkas Kohanim. And we're told, V'samu Eshmi al B'nei Yisrael, that they will place my name on B'nei Yisrael, they the Kohanim. V'ani Avarchem. And the Gemara in Sotan Daf Lamates Amad Aleph notes that after the Kohanim give their bracha to the people, they turn to the Heichal and tell Hashem, Asinu Masha Gazarta Aleinu, we did what you asked us, and now you have to do that you promised, Tashkipa Mima'on Kachacha Min HaShemayim. And this is brought down in Orach Chaim, Simen Kuf Chav Ches, Sif Yud, Sif Tezvav. But why is this the key pasuk? Why do we highlight this particular pasuk? It has more to do with Vidoy Meiser than it does than Birkas Kohanim. So why are we highlighting that? So Rav Nevin Shalita points out that the pasuk refers to the pasuk in Divrei Hayam and Beis in Perek Lamed Pasuk Tesvav, where the Kohanim offered a bracha to Ma'on Kacho, which teaches us that bracha comes to Ma'on Kacho of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from there it spreads throughout the world. By mentioning the Ma'on, we are giving the opportunity to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the source of his bracha, from within which bracha should spread weiter. In the Haftorah, we read about the introduction to Shimshon, but we learn about Manoach and his wife. Now, Rav Amnon Bazak Shalita, one of the great Tanakh teachers of our time, notes that it's interesting that Shimshon, uniquely among the Nevi'im, is introduced with an extreme foray into the lives of his parents. What's the message over here? What are we supposed to gain? So Rav Bazak explains that each of the parents represents a certain weakness that existed in the people at the time that Shimshon's leadership would need to overcome. Manoach displays a certain weakness in his spirituality, hence the focus on his disbelief in his wife and her instructions, and even when it was repeated to him, his discomfort with having to come in contact with the Malach. His wife, on the other hand, she seems more spiritual, but she suffers from a weakness in her nationalism, that the people would eventually defeat their Plishtia oppressors. And hence, although she receives certain instructions and certain promises from the Malach, she only reports the instructions to Manoach, but not the promise. This is part of the great Nisayon, the great lessons and tests that we have in life. We need to believe in our HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in our relationship with Him. We also need to believe in ourselves and that which our HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us. When we take both into our lives, we have the hope for a future that will bring us to a Yom Shekulo Shabbos U'menucha L'chayei Olamim, a Shabbat Shalom to all.